Live and Lansing with Michael Cohen. This is More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
621, Michael Cohen, producer Desi Simmons, wrapping up January, one of the warmest Januaries we've had in many, many years. Well, it's always darkest before the dawn, but at least one analyst sees a bright future ahead for us, stating that we are on the cusp of three grand technological transformations that could rival the changes we saw at the turn of the last century. Mark Mills is a physicist and founder of the Digital Power Group. He explained the upcoming changes in an article featured in the Wall Street Journal, which you can find right now at WSJ.com. He also writes the Forbes Energy Intelligence column. Mark, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
One more thing, you can find Mark online at tech-pundit.com. Now, Mark, some might think that the technological jump has already occurred. We've developed a vast computer network. We're clearly moving into hybrids and electric cars. So do you think we'll see changes as dramatic as going from candles and horses to light bulbs and cars?
Yeah, actually, I do. And, of course, hindsight's always a wonderful thing. But if we wind back, it's easier to think about analogies that if you think about the year 1912, electrification had been around for quite a long time. Cars had been around at that point for about 25 years. So cars had been invented in the late 1800s. There were cars, or lots of car companies. There were lights and light bulbs, and there was telephones. People in 1912 thought the world had changed. If you read history and you read stories and newspaper stories from 1912, people thought correctly. They were in the middle of a huge revolution. They could not imagine that it could have changed much more. And we all know how much the world changed after 1912. We are today in the equivalent era of computing. Computers, the way we think about them, have only been around for only 25 or 30 years. The Internet's only been around for 20 years or so. Mm-hmm. We've only just begun for huge transformations in how we use information and how we use energy.
Well, we can't ignore the changes that also came with that, including two major world wars.
So one of the things is that I'm a technologist, but I've also spent a long time in technologies of weapons. We can have enormous benefits from technology and the economy, but we can't stop people from misbehaving because we have great technologies, and they will often use the great technologies for bad things. So they aren't linked. Electrification didn't cause World War II or World War I. When we finally ended those horrible wars, the huge growth that came to the Western world and the United States after the wars was a direct result of spectacular technologies. And so they happened contemporaneously. They weren't causative.
So when it comes to information technology, we've already got the Internet. What kinds of things could higher processing power and data storage lead to for us in terms of our lives?
Well, we already have the Internet, but it's like saying we already had telephones, as I said, in 1912, and we didn't have the telephony and wireless cell phones the way we have them today. I'll give you one example of what the power of computing will yet do for us in the cloud, and maybe it's the most interesting one is in our health and in medicine. As we add more and more capabilities to computing power that we can access every day easily from cell phones and tablets, and as we monitor and keep track of our personal health, we do it, not doctors, but we do it, and all kinds of sensors in your cell phone will begin to keep track of your own health, your own body's conditions, your own diet. That kind of information, when it's processed through supercomputers, which is what the cloud is becoming, can give you incredibly accurate advice about what you're eating, how to behave, health effects, diseases. Mm-hmm. It becomes very predictive. One thing that computers can do when they get enough information and become powerful enough is they can accurately predict things, just like you could predict how a billiard ball will roll across a table. That's easy because it's very simple physics. The complexities of predicting our health require an incredible amount of computing power, which has become so cheap and so easy that within less than a decade, every one of us will be able to access the equivalent of a supercomputer from our tablet and for our personal use. Mm-hmm. This is transformative in ways that are really almost unimaginable.
Although, interestingly enough, many people think that we're a lot less healthy nowadays than we were maybe at the turn of the last century. Now,
they're wrong. They may think that, but it's not true.
Now, you talk about a communications revolution when it comes to our interconnectivity. I mean, we already have Facebook and Twitter, which usually leads to inane conversations about going to the grocery store or watching a TV show. How do you see that developing into something more profound?
Well, first of all, when new technologies come along, people often use them for inane or silly things. In fact, when the telegraph first came along, people didn't use it very much, and its primary use was for the telegraph operators to send dirty jokes to each other because nobody could really figure out what to do with it other than that. So it's sort of typical of the development of new technologies. But when people communicate, and they can communicate inexpensively, and not just on the telephone, but when I say communicate, I mean share information that's useful, and this is relevant to manufacturing and to service industries. When you can do that easily anywhere in the world with anybody all the time, it will change how we operate in ways that are not really easy to imagine. Facebook's interesting that you should point out people do inane things on it, which is true, but I sort of had that sense of Facebook for a long time, and I confess I'm a latecomer through my children educating me into the fact that Facebook has migrated already increasingly to a business platform. So not just entertainers that need to use Facebook to talk about themselves, but businesses are frequently now migrating to Facebook as a more effective means for telling their story, for getting their marketing out.
Mm-hmm.
It's transforming and, in a sense, lubricating the effectiveness of businesses already. So it's migrating already in front of our very eyes.
Now, you say the third area where we're going to see a big change is in smart manufacturing. Although at this point, our smart manufacturing involves having the Chinese build our products. What kinds of changes do you expect to see in this century when it comes to manufacturing?
You're absolutely right. What's been smart so far is outsourcing. That appears smart. So as we migrate manufacturing increasingly to technologies that involve computing again and involve what's called 3D printing, what matters more is the intellectual property, the ideas, and the labor. Labor becomes a less and less important part of the cost of manufacturing. Technology becomes a more important part of manufacturing, which is a way of saying it's like a form of super automation. If that's the direction of manufacturing, and it is, then we're the epicenter. Labor becomes a tiny portion, and intellectual property becomes a high portion. So what we already are seeing are the rudimentary forms of 3D printing, almost like on Star Trek, where you know that machine that you could ask for a cup of coffee, and it would be magically appear in the it would look like a microwave oven.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of manufacturing, called 3D printing or whole part manufacturing, is now feasible using powdered materials, powdered metals, and lasers and high power microwaves to literally take an image, a 3D image from a computer, and print in three dimensions with metals and plastic a real part. That's already happening. It's already possible. It's only possible with fairly elementary parts, but it's becoming increasingly clear that we will move towards an era of what we call smart manufacturing, where you make exactly what you need, when you need, and where you need it.
I see.
And that really changes the game. And that's all coming out of the United States. It's not coming out of China. We're pioneering that. And I'm sure the Chinese are worried about that.
I was going to ask you, only a minute left, I was going to ask you a serious question about any potential disasters we might face, like the overpopulation issue. But I do want to ask you about the WALL-E movie by Disney, you know, where the Earth is basically a garbage dump. We spend our time being levitated by chairs. Is that another potential conclusion where we're too lazy and atrophied to move on our own?
So first, we'll get rid of all the trash, because in the smart manufacturing world run by metadata in the cloud, we don't make waste, because we in effect perfectly manufacture everything, which means you don't waste stuff. So that's incredible efficiency. You don't have waste. And then you can do what we do call perfect recycling. Then everything gets used, reused.
Uh-huh.
Whether we become fat blobs of levitated chairs is a...
Let's hope not.
I hope that's what our smartphones get smart enough to tell us how to behave.
Indeed. Mark Mills, founder of the Digital Power Group. Find him online at tech-pundit.com. Mark, thank you for joining me.
Good day, thank you.
We'll be right back.
I'm Pam Puso.